Bob, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing very well, Bruce. How about you?
We're doing just fine. We haven't blown anything up, and the FCC isn't here, so we're pretty happy about that. You got a tropical storm headed your way.
Yes, we do. Fortunately, we did not have rain getting off the plane and getting to our hotel. It was very blustery, and we know it's coming. We're hoping it may go out to sea, but I don't think that's going to happen. So it's going to be a wild and woolly atmosphere, I'm sure, there tomorrow.
Well, anybody that knows anything about FCS football knows this is a big hill for Maine to climb this week and a daunting challenge. 3-0, fifth ranked in the nation, William and Mary. We knew last year they were coming on strong. What gives Maine the best chance for success?
Well, I think it's for Maine to take the game to the ground. The weather's not going to be conducive, I don't think, to a lot of passing. The kicking game may be somewhat challenging as well. And I think Maine will play best if they're trying to establish a physical and productive ground game. And then if they have an opportunity and it's something that you can do because of, you know, the weather improving or something, then maybe you get some play-action passes, some roll-up passes. But I think that's the formula for success. Maine has got to limit their possessions. They've got an explosive offense. And Maine has also got to prevent situations where they're third and long and sitting in the pocket because they've got two great edge rushers in John Pius and Nate Lynn.
Well, Rich, I know in your conversation with Jordan that we just listened to, you talked a little bit about that opening drive last weekend. Everything's going great. Adjustments were made and Maine got shut down. What kind of adjustments did you guys see them make, Rhode Island make, that changed Maine's ability to move the ball?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't sure it was the Rhode Island adjustments as much as Maine just giving up on the run. I mean, I don't quite understand why. The Black Bears had run the ball pretty well in the first half. Tristan Keenan had 73 rushing yards in the first half and only had 5 carries in the second half. So I'm not sure it was adjustments so much as just not wanting to go back to the run.
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked about this for years, that in the CAA and all through FCS, through all of football, that mobile quarterback that can beat you with his feet and the and his arm has been a big key to success. How is Maine going to make that work with the talent that they have?
Well, that's a great question because there seems to be, and I don't know that it's for lack of ability. We've seen Derek Robertson run the ball in the past, even this season on the one designed run he had. He went 10 yards and picked up the first down. It seems to be an unwillingness to run him. And I don't know if part of that is the fact that we don't have anybody with collegiate experience backing him up. So perhaps the coaching staff feels like they can't risk an injury to him any more than they do having him back there in the pocket. I'm not sure, but we'll see. Bob, I might see another dual-threat quarterback tomorrow. See Darius Wilson racked up some pretty good rushing yards.
And
yeah, he's an outstanding dual-threat quarterback. He's 6'3", 205 pounds. Over his career, he's rushed for 1,025 yards and 8 touchdowns. He's also thrown for 4,028 passing yards and 25 touchdowns. So he's going to be difficult to stop. He's only this year rushed for 105 so far in 3 games. But he's got the capability to get 100 yards rushing in any game and a couple of rushing touchdowns. And he's also very deceptive with his passes because of the fact they're doing a lot of running. Sometimes he'll give a nice play-action fake inside and then take the ball down the field and take the top off your defense with one of their speedy receivers.
And we know that go ahead, Rich. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, Jordan was telling us earlier this afternoon that in their scouting and then watching some of the tapes, one of the things that they see is that quite often William & Mary has a wide open receiver because that play action pass has been so effective for him. And part of the reason it's effective is because of the threat of Darius Wilson.
When you guys think about the William & Mary defense, The stats I've seen, and I know Bob will have more of them off the top of his head than I could write down in a week, but that's pretty good too.
Yeah, it's outstanding. When you look at the numbers, Bruce, I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it. Now, it's only 3 weeks into the season, but they're only allowing 12.3 points per game. They have not allowed an offensive touchdown in the last two games. They're allowing 69 rushing yards per game, 2.3 yards per rush, only 112 yards per game passing. They're leading FCS football in total defense, only allowing 181 yards per game. And on third down, it's just jaw-dropping. They've only allowed 4 of 31 third down conversions over their first three games. That's also best in the country. They've racked up 24 tackles for a loss and 10 sacks. And they're all involved in that because they've got really good players and experienced players all throughout that defense. But two that come out or just jump out of their, my mind because I can't believe the numbers they put up is their outside linebacker, John Pius, and Nate Lynn, the defensive end. Those two guys on the edge are trouble. Over their careers at William & Mary, they have combined for 66.5 tackles for a loss and 42 sacks. Nate Lynn is the National Defensive Player of the Week for his efforts last week. He had 7 tackles. He had 2 tackles for a loss, a sack, and a forced fumble. And John Pius was right there with him. He had a great game. And Pius had 6 tackles, 2.5 tackles for a loss, and a sack. So they're trouble, and if it's third and long situation, they're going to press that pocket and get to the quarterback very quickly. They're also good on negative yardage play. You try a sweep or something, they're tackling you for a 3-yard loss. So Maine is going to have to factor them into their plans. And I think nothing better than running right at them. Just run the ball, get the offensive line to sustain blocks. You've got some good running backs in Tristan Keenan. Tristan Keenan right now is among the top freshmen in the country in the FCS. He is second among all FCS freshman rushers with 243 rushing yards and fourth among freshmen in rushing TDs with 3. So he's off to a good start. John Gay has shown that he can run with power and speed. And, I think they need to roll out that run game and try to chew some clock and limit these possessions, like I said, because their defense is tough. And it's not only the two people I mentioned, Pius and Nate Lynn. They've got an inside linebacker that was second team All-CAA last year. They've got a cornerback that was first team All-CAA last year. They've got their other cornerback who was a finalist for the Jerry Rice Award given to the top freshman. And he was a sophomore All-American last year. So they've got all kinds of outstanding players all over the field. They were 11-2 last year and 7-1 in the CAA, and they brought back 15 starters, 8 on offense and 7 on defense. So they're loaded up pretty good.
And Maine, Maine traditionally has been a very active defense. Like with Joe Rossi, something was happening on every play, it seemed. Does Maine need to be more active on defense and maybe play less base?
Well, I think if they're going to get after the offense and create some negative yardage plays, I mean, they've got to dial up some blitzes. And they've done some of that, Bruce. I thought they did a really good job pressuring FIU and kind of taking away the run game from them. And they've done it in periods of time in the other games. But I think the key for me in this game is Maine needs to play complementary football offensively and defensively, supporting one another. And they have got to play at a high level for 4 quarters. There can't be any valleys. They've got to be, playing all the way at a high level. And that, I think, gives them the best chance to pull off an upset.
Well, Rich, I wondered if you could give us a little view of how it'll be to call a game in this in this wind down there. I understand you can see the ocean from the stadium.
You know, I'm not sure of that. I'm not from where we are, I don't think. But I know this. When we stepped off the plane today, it was difficult to stand up. It was so windy. And the rain hadn't begun yet. And apparently the storm has slowed down a little bit. I'm not sure if that's good, because the forecast earlier today calling for the rain and lightning and some of the high winds begin to taper off early afternoon. Well, if the storm has slowed, then that could be what we're dealing with tomorrow afternoon. Quite frankly, given the forecast, I'm pretty surprised they haven't tried to reschedule this game. There's a tornado watch in effect. Increased level of tornado activity is a possibility. We're in a tropical storm warning. They're looking at a dangerous storm surge. We're talking about 3 to 6 inches of rain expected between tonight and tomorrow afternoon. And even on a turf field, yeah, that's going to make conditions pretty rough out there. And if the winds are whipping around too, I mean, we're looking, Bob, at another 2006 main plate, and that's Southeastern down in Rhode Island.
Yeah, and Maine was upset 3-0 in 2006, and that really kept them out of the playoffs that year. They had a great team. And as I recall, Rich, Rhode Island and Maine combined in that Southeaster threw the ball 4 times the entire game. That's how bad it was. And we may be looking at similar situations tomorrow.
And it was, I want to say, well, maybe 15, 18 years ago when Maine had a game scheduled with William & Mary, and it got postponed because of a hurricane, and Maine ended up getting a forfeit.
Well, that's an interesting thought. I hadn't thought about that. If it is as bad as field conditions and they go ahead and play, does Maine with their offensive line gain a little bit from that?
Well, it's hard to know, because I think it's going to impact both teams, but I think it's going to be one of those games where you're going to have to really hang on to the pigskin, avoid turnovers. It may be a little sloppy and hard to execute the passing game, so there's likely going to be a lot more running. Now, William & Mary has got a prolific trio of runners. Darius Wilson, the quarterback, last year had 534 rushing yards in their 11-2 season. And they've got a tremendous running back in Bronson Yoder, a 5'11", 210-pound senior. And he put up 1,255 yards rushing last year. And then they've got Malachi Emo, another running back who's got some speed and is averaging over his career 7.5 yards per rush, and he's put up 1,494 rushing yards in his career, and he's also a good receiver. So those three are all back, the quarterback and those two running backs, and then they've got some receivers that can make some plays running the ball as well. So they're going to challenge Maine, I think, on a number of fronts on the ground, and it'll be difficult, I think, to complete a lot of passes tomorrow if the wind is blowing as hard as what we think it might be. So I think it's going to come down to the trenches. And, you know, Maine does have a big offensive line. You know, they're averaging right now, I think it's 6'3.5" and 311 pounds up front. William & Mary is big as well. They average 6'4", 293. And they've got almost all their starters back on the offensive line from that great season last year, led by their left tackle, who was a first-team All-CAA player, Charles Grant. So I think the key for Maine, I think, again, is to try to get that run game established so they can really move the ball downfield, gain some possession time, take some of those possessions away from them, and they're going to have to do a really good job tackling, because their backs run hard, and they'll break tackles if they're arm tackles. And that's going to be key as well.
Do we know, are we missing any players that we didn't know we were going to be missing? Is there anything new on the injury front?
Nobody really coming back into things that wasn't playing last week.
So Tavion Banks is still out. That leaves...
Yeah.
Yeah. would be nice to have three guys, because when weather like that, sometimes that's a good thing to have.
Well, and they may have three guys, because we may see, if it ends up being a running game, we may see the first appearance for a new guy on the roster. He's been with them for a while, but came in late and still learning the playbook. But they've been very impressed with the work of Ryan Santana.
And do we know where he came from?
He played at El Camino College in Torrance, California, a junior college. Rushed for a team high 655 yards and led the team with 11 rushing touchdowns. And prior to that, he was at a junior college in Mesa, Arizona. He was a junior college All-American, second team, I believe, 1 year, and third team the other year. And he runs hard. He's going to be a physical runner. And somebody like that can get between the tackles, I think, would be advantageous tomorrow.
Well, I hope that you guys stay dry and safe, and that you have a good flight home. And so hopefully the Black Bears can surprise everybody tomorrow.
Our fingers crossed, mostly for everybody's safety, and then obviously the people here in Virginia, we're hoping for the best for them. But not bad right now, just a little windy and rainy. If it could stay like this, we'd all be pretty happy tomorrow.
All righty. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for checking in and for making this go easy on me and Stack, and we appreciate it. We'll see you all back here next week.
Thanks, Bruce.
Stack, it sounds like old times hearing you guys together.
Yeah, it's nice. I'm still getting used to it. I didn't know how to fade out to get to the the intro music, so I feel like I've let Bob down by not having the game plan music. So, Bob, I do want to severely apologize and let you know I'll make it up to you next time.
Jack, no worries. In my mind, I'm picturing Vince Lombardi pacing the sidelines with a rolled-up program in that music.